All right, Romans chapter 14. You have your Bibles. That's where we'll be picking up here in our verse by verse study of this foundational book of Romans. And as you're turning there, you might recall, if you've been with us through this study, that in chapter 12, Paul moved from more of doctrine to application. He's began to teach, instructing us, if you remember, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, what is our reasonable service in the world and to others? He talked about our reasonable service and our submission to higher powers in the first part of chapter 13. And then he went on to talk about how love works no ill to his neighbor. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. When we do our Bible studies, they get chopped up week by week. Obviously, the people in Rome received a letter from Paul, and so in fresh in their minds as they get to Romans chapter 14 is what he said in chapter 13, and that love works no ill to his neighbor, and that's fundamental to what Paul is teaching here. He says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so as we look at Romans chapter 14, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. In particular, we're going to read eventually through verse 12 for the sake of context, but 1 through 9 is what we're really dealing with here in this study. And maybe if you have a Bible that puts subheadings or headings to sections, or if you've read commentaries or done Bible studies, oftentimes people like to reduce this section down to not passing judgment, and that's a bit misleading. There's a quite a large segment of Christians out there that think that we shouldn't be judging anything, and that's just not the case. There's also those that think that our right to judge people extends further than what it actually does. Really, the subtitle I've put for this message is how do we deal with Christians that don't understand Christian liberty as we do? So, how is it that we deal with other Christians that don't understand the Christian liberty as we do? And Paul is going to deal with those who are stronger and those who are weaker, which we'll talk about the significance of the fact that it's not two positions on equal grounds. They're not equal grounds. There is the stronger and there is the weaker. But from both sides, we're talking about believers and we're talking about people that are their position is based on a desire to please the Lord. But the weaker looks at the stronger, not so much as stronger, but they do look at them as in such a way that they judge them. And those who are stronger look at the weaker and they look down on them. And so in a sense, what we're saying here is regardless of which position one is in, how do we deal with Christians that don't view Christian liberty the same way that we do? As we'll talk about, your goal is to be in the stronger camp. And there's a reason why Paul uses the terms that he does, stronger and weaker. And so, your goal as a Christian is to move from weak to strong. And chapter 14, Paul is addressing issues that exist even today. You'll notice as we read this that he's talking about things like dietary restrictions. He's talking about how people view one day above another day. And we see those things going on today. Like I said, you have people even today that are arguing about Christmas or arguing about Thanksgiving or arguing about its role for the Christian, the liberty to do so. How is it that we deal with believers that don't understand these issues that Paul lists that also are part of our day? And so how do we deal with these Christian liberties? That's what we're talking about here. The one thing that you have to understand is there's no one size fits all as we do this study. In this passage here, Paul is going to talk about that we should receive the weaker person, and the weaker person shouldn't judge the stronger person. But there's other passages that Paul will instruct on how to deal with very similar types of thoughts, meaning those who are teaching others that they should have respect for a holy day, or teaching others that they should have dietary restrictions. And Paul deals with those people much differently than what he deals with these. And so we have to understand that you have to have discernment when it comes to these issues. It's not a one size fits all. So just because somebody is wrong about Christian liberty doesn't mean that we treat them always the same. And there are those that that know the truth and who have walked away from it. And so we don't treat that person the same as somebody who is simply weaker in the faith. And it takes discernment. And you've often heard me talk about that leadership takes discernment, meaning you have to know the scriptures and know which ones apply to any given situation. So leadership takes discernment. It means it takes somebody who's strong. And discernment takes submission. And that's somebody that realizes that they're a servant to the scriptures, to the authority of the scriptures. We don't just determine these things based upon how they offend us. We don't just determine these things based upon emotion. We need to use the scriptures and realize that there are different instructions as it relates to different types of people. And we have to realize that. We need to have discernment, know what the scriptures say about that given situation, which means you have to study the scriptures on these matters. So let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, so that we can see what we're talking about here. Romans 14, 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you've heard me say that you have to be persuaded in your own mind, this is where we get that from. Verse 6, he that regards the day, regard it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day, to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eats to the Lord, for he giveth thanks. And he that eats not, to the Lord he's eating not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So this is what Paul is talking about here. I want you to notice a couple of things in here. Notice that these issues are not the same as those very concrete instructions that we saw in chapter 13, those that can be very easily understood. We all understand that thou shalt not kill. We all understand that thou shalt not steal. You shall not covet. You shall not commit adultery. Those are pretty clear. Anyone who becomes a Christian probably understands rather quickly that killing, stealing, all those things are wrong. That's behaviors that shouldn't be done. But that doesn't mean that dietary restrictions and observing days, just because they're concrete issues in chapter 13, those are, and just because these are issues that maybe aren't so clear to understand, that doesn't mean they don't matter. The truth is, they do matter. That's why the one that is not eating, the one that's observing days, he's the weaker one. He's not the stronger one. He's the weaker one. That's because there is a truth in regard to these things. There is a thing called Christian liberty in which we do enjoy and we should enjoy with certain understanding, not to the point that it harms another, not to the point that it becomes a stumbling block. We shouldn't be so joyful and so resolute on this is my right, this is my liberty, to the point that it's going to cause another person to stumble, because then you're not loving one another. You're not esteeming the other higher. So you've just become wrong in your actions. We have to remember at this time period, and we sometimes, I think, forget this. At this time, these people weren't able to go home at night after they got off work and open up their Bible and study these issues. These are people that if they don't already have an epistle written by the Apostle Paul, if they don't have that, then they're left with a lot of misunderstandings. And this is why at this time period you had the spiritual gifts at that time. They were completely necessary, because if you didn't have the spiritual gifts, imagine if you were somebody in Rome and Paul hadn't yet written the epistle to the Romans. Imagine if you haven't had any of the letters that may have already been written and have not come your way. Well, the only way that you're going to know these truths, and the reason why that God had those with spiritual gifts of knowledge, with prophecy and such, was because without the scriptures and without those spiritual gifts, it would be a bit chaotic. And so God gave those gifts for the edification of the church until that which is perfect shall come. And so we got to put our minds, we got to put ourselves in the position of these people. We may think that, oh, well, these people are just very, very simple, and they just must be fighting amongst themselves and unwilling to get along. When in actuality, you have many different cultures. You have Jews who come and become part of the body of Christ there in Rome. You've got Gentiles with many different cultures. Rome is a huge city where people would come and they would go. And so you had people from many different cultures, and they have their own belief system as it relates to, do you eat meat? Do you not eat meat? And so there are a lot of things that are coming along here, and Paul has to establish the doctrine. We have a luxury of having the Bible. We have a luxury that we can go to this. Those people, they didn't have that luxury. And so they would depend on the gift of knowledge or prophets to teach them. And again, I would also say that even whenever they did have somebody who had the gift of knowledge, because you had people here in Rome that Paul greets that have learned under Paul and have probably taught these people, but truth is oftentimes very hard to accept. And so if you come from a Jewish background and now all of a sudden you don't have any days that are more holy than the other, you don't have dietary restrictions, it's going to be a little bit difficult. If you're a Gentile that believes certain things in your culture were wrong, it's going to be difficult. So we got to keep that in mind. There are going to be both religious and non-religious people in this church here in Rome. And if we think that today it's difficult to try to get people to overcome tradition, imagine what it was like in that time period. Imagine what it was like getting people at that time to put aside culture. I would imagine the opportunity for a bit of chaos was there. This is why it was so important the Apostle Paul write this letter, so that people could be established in the faith. And that's what has to be done here. And so if you remember the situation with Jethro, which was Moses's father-in-law. Remember, Jethro brings Moses' wife and children to meet Moses and the Jews who were in wandering. And Jethro sees Moses having to do everything, and he suggests to him that he get people to help. Well, Paul can't do everything. And this is, again, one of the reasons why there were spiritual gifts, why people had the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of knowledge, because just like Moses couldn't do everything, part of his spirit, which was the spirit was given to him of God, was taken and given to other people, somewhat similar here, is in the sense that it's not Paul's spirit given to everybody, but the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit were given and empowering other people so that the church could be established. I just cannot imagine how easily these churches could have gone in so many different directions if it weren't for those spiritual gifts. And so we should keep that in mind. Observing days and not observing them is not going to change a person's standing before God. And certainly, as we will see, Paul, as we read here, and as we're going to look at it, he comes down harsher on the weaker person, the one who's judging the stronger person. He's coming down harder on them, one, because of their judgment, but two, because of the fact that obviously they're in the weaker position. The goal is to become stronger, not to stay in that weaker position. And so Paul comes down harsher on those that do believe that observing these types of things somehow makes you more spiritual. And again, we can see those kind of things taking place in the world today. There are those today that think that there are certain behaviors that make you more spiritual, that make you more blessed of God. And that's just simply not the case. And so, all right, let's look here in verses 1 through 2. He says, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith. Notice right here in the beginning that if you pay attention to how this sentence is structured and even how this begins, it's almost as though he's talking to the stronger person. He says, him that is weak. So he's obviously talking to that stronger person, which is in of itself interesting because you would expect that you would not want to put in leadership those who are weak in the faith. You want the stronger ones in the positions of leadership. And so we don't want those who struggle over things that should be understood. Look, leaders, myself included, don't have every answer, but there are certain things that they better not be weak in. They better understand the doctrine that's for them today, and they better understand, many of these things. So you don't want somebody that doesn't understand these things to be in church leadership. And so he says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. The weak, you have to understand here, often people might assume that weak are new believers. And we would expect new believers to be weak in the faith. But that's not necessarily what Paul is referring to here. He's not necessarily talking about those who are new or young in the faith, but it's specifically those whose consciences cannot handle the truth that nothing you eat or don't eat can improve your standing before God. And so you might have somebody that's been a Christian for many years, especially today, that have not really studied the scriptures, have not really been taught the scriptures. The pulpit that the church they attend, if they do attend, doesn't teach the scriptures. And so it's not necessarily somebody that's brand new, but it's anybody that doesn't understand. They cannot handle the truth because of their conscience. It's not because of a fake, spiritualness on their part. That's not who Paul is talking about. He's talking about that somebody that legitimately believes what they do, and the rest of these verses give us that context, that that's who he's talking about. He's talking about somebody that doesn't understand, doesn't comprehend the fact that not eating things or eating things is not going to change your standing before God. And so that's who he's talking about here. It's people that don't realize that you can't improve your standing with God. And so we have to understand that our liberty that we have in Christ is a legitimate one that we have. And it's people that don't understand that, that's who these weaker people are. And whenever he says the faith, it's also understand that notice that the verse here doesn't say he that is weak in faith. So it's not somebody that's struggling with faith. So somebody comes to you and says that they're struggling with faith, meaning whether they believe anymore or not, things like that. That's again not who this is talking about. So you can't necessarily apply it the same way. He's talking about those weak in the faith, those who are weak in the truth of the message that was committed to the Apostle Paul. Turn me to Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. And so this is who Paul is talking about. Not somebody that doesn't have faith, but somebody that's weak in the Pauline message. It says, now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel, notice that, establish you. Now to him that's able to have the power to establish you. It says establish, but ultimately that meaning is to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And so this idea of the faith is not simply having faith, it's understanding being strong in the faith, the Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And so that person that doesn't understand that would be weak. And so again, just because that doesn't mean it, if it's somebody who's rejected the faith, it's talking about those who are weak in it, that don't understand it, that aren't for conscience sake at a place in which those of us who are, or we think we are anyway, strong in the faith. And so look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Here Paul is in the verses above talked about overseers, so bishops, pastors, that type of thing. And now he's talking about deacons. And obviously, the qualification for a deacon is not more than the qualification for an overseer. And so here he says, again, these leaders, those who should be strong in the faith, notice what he says here in 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are those who are going to depart from the faith. That doesn't mean necessarily they're going to become atheists. That means there are those who are going to depart from the truth that is the revelation of the mystery. And obviously that has been taking place for a long time, but there's going to be a real move in that direction, certainly before the rapture. Look at chapter 6, verse 21. Chapter 6, verse 21. Well, start at verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing, talking about those who profess to believe, and having erred concerning the faith. And so again, this idea of the faith is are those that have a weakness as it relates to the truth that we have for this dispensation of grace. And you might expect to see somebody, especially from a Jewish background, to really struggle in that regard. So, but back here in Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, he says, receive ye. The idea of this word receive here literally means to embrace. You need to receive, you need to embrace. Look at Romans 15, 7. Says Romans 15, 7, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Two things. Romans 14, if you were to put chapters based upon content, topics, that type of thing. In other words, what I'm saying is Paul's thought in verse four, chapter 14, verse 1 continues all the way through 15:7. So when he says, wherefore receive one another, Well, he says that because he just got done talking earlier in chapter 14 that we should receive that weaker brother. And so it's the same thing. It's bring the whole thing together in your mind and realize that it's all talking together. But notice what it says, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Well, how did Christ receive us? Did he receive us in such a way that he looks down upon us? So whenever Christ saved you, Ephesians 1:13, don't go there, but whenever you believe the gospel of salvation, at that moment, whenever you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, when you believed did he set you down and then starts looking down upon you, or did he embrace you? Well, that's what he's saying here, is we need to receive the weaker person the same way Christ received us, because I think we can all understand that as compared to Christ, we are weak. And so the instruction here is to him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But he says, don't do it to doubtful disputations. When we think of, I want to go back to the receive ye. There's a couple of notes that I have that I didn't cover, but I do want to cover. If you're familiar with Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, Christ said, a bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. The idea there is, as you probably know, a bruised reed. A reed, it's bruised, it's got a weakness. And so he's not going to break it at that. He's not going to find that weak spot and just break it off so that he can eliminate that weak spot. That's not how Christ operated. Therefore, that's not how we do. Or a smoking flax, if you have a candle and a wick, that the flame is not burning as it should, and it's just smoking. You don't just simply discard it. And that's the idea for us here. Him that is weak in the faith, receive. That's what we should do. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, because there's a distinction between receiving those who are weak versus those who have different behaviors. That behavior I talked about before, that you don't have one standard for all situations. Look at Galatians 4, verse 8. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after you are known of God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Notice that weak. Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. You observe days and months and times and years. He says, look at this, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. And so here the idea is these people are observing days, but the people Paul here is dealing with here, these are people who went from a place of strength and are descending to a place of weakness. And so again, they're leaving, they're diminishing, they're going from strength to weakness. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So again, he's telling people, don't go into that weak place, especially if you've been in a place of strength. The idea is to go from weakness to strength. Look at verse 7, Galatians 5. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Again, they're not standing in their liberty. They're going from strength to weakness. They did run well, but now something, someone has come along and caused them to be hindered. And now that means that by not standing on the liberty, that means that they're not obeying the truth. Again, so the point here is it's not okay to believe that you shouldn't eat in certain things. It's not okay to believe that certain days are more holy than another. He's not suggesting that it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. But what he's saying is you still need to receive that weaker person and don't look down upon them. That's different than, say, 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We read this verse 1, but I want to read verses 1 through 6. 1 Timothy 1, 4, or 4, 1, verses 1 through 6. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know not the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. Praise God and amen to that. If it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So Paul is specifically telling Timothy to teach people that they shouldn't be concerned about what they eat. That is growing into strength. These people here, Paul is saying their mouths need to be stopped in other places because they're commanding other people. These are people, Paul is talking about in the latter times, there are going to be those who are going to rise to the position of leadership that they're going to command people to abstain. That's different than you yourself being in a weaker state, your conscience being in a place where you think that if you abstain from meat, and you eat only herbs, you have a vegetarian lifestyle, you think that that's going to somehow increase your standing or spirituality before God, that means you're in a weaker place. Because it clearly doesn't do that. It doesn't produce that. But somebody that's in a weaker place doesn't get treated the same as somebody that is rejecting the truth, somebody that is moving from the truth to a weaker position, or somebody that is commanding others to not eat. And so that's a huge, huge difference. Go back to Romans 14 here. He says, doubtful disputations. We don't use those kind of terms these days. You know, what is he talking about here? He says, basically, accept these people as they are. He says, receive him that's weak in the faith, receive. And he's saying, receive them as they are. Don't embrace them so that you can berate them or so that you can enter into debates with them. So you're not gonna have a motivating factor that you will embrace them so that you can debate them. That's not the point here. As he's going to say here, every person needs to be convinced in their own mind. That's not the reason why we accept people. If you remember chapter 13, where he talked about, chapter 12, where he talked about love being without dissimulation. In other words, love unfeigned, without pretense. And so you don't love one another in such a way that it's pretense. And so you can see why that his message in chapter 14 is very, very much built upon the things that he said in chapter 12 and in chapter 13. The translators of the King James Bible, so if you have a 1611 King James Bible, and you have the margin notes that they put in there, they suggest an alternative translation, or for better understanding, they suggest that the meaning for doubtful disputations is not to judge his doubtful thoughts. And so, in other words, they're saying that you can understand this as him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to judge his doubtful thoughts. You don't receive them so that you can judge those things. You receive him as he is, and you continue to teach the truth, and may he be convinced in his own mind in regards to his own Christian liberty. We don't receive them in and then look down on them. Again, that is not how Christ received us, so we don't receive others in that. Verses 3, let's pick up in verse 3, running out of time quickly here. Romans 14, verse 3, let not him that eat despise him that eat not. The idea of despise here isn't the idea of hating, it's looking down upon. Let not him that eateth look down upon him that eateth not, and let not him which eat, or let him which eateth not, judge him that eateth. So you don't want the person who's not eating to judge the one that is eating. In other words, We see this today. Again, as I mentioned before, those who don't eat think that they're more spiritual, so they're not looking down upon them. They judge that person who eats as not spiritual. That's what he's talking about. For God hath received him. Why does that matter? Again, so if somebody judges the other person and basically has determined their mind that they're somehow not worthy, they're not as good, and all those kind of things, keep in mind that as you say that, God has received that person. And so now you're going to suggest that you're not going to receive them? And I don't think that's a very intelligent, discerning way to look at things. Verse 4, who art thou that judges another man's servant? See, notice how Paul is more harsh on this weaker person. And who are you judge the other man's servant? The servant here is the believer, is a servant of Christ. That's what this context is. To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. So we can see here that the idea is that we as believers are the servant of God. Therefore, who are you the judges to judge the servant of God, is what he's saying here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So again, the idea here is that we be strong in grace, that we be strong in the truth, not that we stay in a weakened place. That is our goal. And that's why I would suggest that Paul is harsher on this weaker person, is because, one, they're in a place that they need to move from weakness to strength. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Again, the calling is for the weak to become strong. Those today who think that you don't do certain things, if you don't do certain things, that you must not be spiritual. Again, if you're not, you know, careful with what you eat, if you don't go to church 8 days a week and twice on certain days, that you must not be spiritual. If you don't understand that that's not how it works, that makes you the weaker person. We are the servants of Christ, and he is our judge. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 says, Paul says, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. What is he saying there? He's saying that Christ is his judge. Therefore, you that judges another man's servant, don't be doing that, is what he's saying. Again, that's not suggesting that there aren't things that we are to judge. Again, can't take things out of context. What he's saying here is there's the bigger issue than our liberty. So for the one that looks down upon the weaker person or the one who judges the stronger person, what Paul is telling us here is there's a bigger issue than our liberty. Again, I see it a lot today. Especially, I'm not even going to go there. There are a lot of people that are so concerned about the liberty that they violate more important things than the liberty. There are more important things than the liberties in which I have. There's bigger issues going on, things like the unity within the body. Christ is more concerned about there being unity. That doesn't mean unity at every expense. But that does mean unity at the expense of your liberty. That's what he's saying. And so there's a bigger issue. Whenever he says that loving one another fulfills the whole law, which is a bigger issue in Christ's mind? That you love one another or that you demand that everybody recognizes your liberty? Well, I think that we know the answer to that. Are we living up to that? Are we putting our liberties ahead of our loving one another? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful. So the second part is this sentence is him explaining what that first part means. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. Edify means to build up. And so he's saying, all of these things are free. I have liberty, but not everything is expedient. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, eat. Don't worry about asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat. Don't worry about asking a question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now he wants to clarify who he means by conscience. He's saying, not because of your conscience, but because of the weaker person. He says in verse 29, conscience I say not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Verse 30, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So there's bigger issues than our Christian liberties, and that's a lot of what Paul is trying to say here in Romans chapter 14. Yes, you have the stronger, and yes, you have the weaker. Yes, you have the liberties, but there are more important things. He said there in Romans 14, let every man be persuaded in his own mind, right? That's what he's saying. Don't judge that situation. We belong to Christ. Therefore, he is able and he will judge all of us. And that's where Paul is going to next, is that we are owned by the Lord, where we have liberties. Don't be judging people that exercise their liberty, because don't worry. God is able and he will judge all things. Look at verses 7 through 12, Romans 14. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and received, that he might be Lord both of living and the dead, both the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, we're running out of time, but first of all, we're going to look at verses 10 through 12 next week. But I wanted to read verses 10 through 12 because they very much expand on the same thoughts we're dealing with in verses 7 through 9. And that is the fact that we live as believers, talking about we live and die unto the Lord. And so verse 8 is the explanation of what that means. And that is whether we live or die, we are his. None of us will escape the final analysis of our lives by the Lord. And that should be remembered daily. None of us, believers included, will escape a final analysis and a final account of our lives to the Lord. He owns that right. He purchased the right to do that. And that's what he's talking about here, is that we belong to the Lord. And so we should not have a higher standard than he has. And so if somebody has been received of God, don't therefore unreceive him, unless, of course, we have scriptures that tell us, and there are times in which we do. But when we don't have those, we don't determine these things based upon emotion. We determine them based upon doctrine. And so when it comes to judging, the fact that we will all give an account before God, Paul is letting us know that the Lord purchased that right. And that's what he's talking about here. He says in verse 9, for to this end, what end? That we belong to the Lord. For whether we live, in verse 8, or we die, we do so to the Lord. And he says, for this sin, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So that means when it comes to those who are in Christ, guess what? Whether you're alive or whether you're dead, we shall all give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So again, the fact of the matter is there's going to be an accounting. And so therefore, you, talking about the weaker person, you that think that you're more spiritual because you're going to judge your brother because he eats certain food or he doesn't recognize certain days, you that judges him, no, the Lord will judge him on that matter. But again, maybe less emphatic is Paul, but it's still the truth. You that is strong in the Lord, you don't look down upon your weaker brother. Don't love him feigned. Don't love him in such a way that you accept him so that you can berate him. And that's really kind of what we have going on here. Next week, again, we'll look especially here at verses 10 through 12, the judgment seat of Christ, what is contained in that, and how we will all stand before the judgment seat. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And we just thank you that when it comes to the matters that we may find confusing, that we can go to your word. And it's a privileged position. And I pray that we would use it. And that we be not like those that would use emotion, our own thinking, to determine matters of such importance, that we would truly seek out those who are stronger in the faith and for wisdom and guidance, but most importantly, that we would search out your word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.